We're in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I want to read the first few of the verses. I don't want to go all the way through it. We'll stop at about verse 11 or so. And but the title of the message is Hope for Discouraged Moms. And sometimes moms go through discouraging times. And I pray this morning, if you're discouraged or you're having a hard time, I pray that today you'll find comfort in the Scriptures. And maybe you have a daughter, or maybe you have a granddaughter, or somebody that you know at work or in your neighborhood that is struggling and wonders, where is God in the midst of my storm? Well, I pray that you will be able to help them and comfort them as they go through that with the Word of God. If you look at 1 Samuel, let's look at chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Bear with me on these hard words. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah. Now, Hannah's going to be our main subject, so pay attention to Hannah. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah, is how I'm supposed to say it. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Verse 3. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Verse 4. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. Now watch this in verse 5. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Now that's a key statement. The Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Verse 7. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Verse 8. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Sounds like a typical husband. Verse 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, another key verse, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Let's stop right there, and we'll pick up the rest here in a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and God, we just pray that Lord, that you would open our hearts to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, first I want to say that we have many different types of moms that are in here this morning. We have our biological moms, I guess you could call it biological moms, or moms that have biological children. And we love and appreciate you, and we're glad that you're here today, and we appreciate all that you've been through as a mother. And I can assure you that I am so appreciative of my mother and what all she went through with us kids. She had four kids. Two of us are twins, or I guess that'd be two of us be twins. And but my mom is an amazing lady, and I remember the greatest memory I have of my mom, of course, she's always been patient. Very patient and very loving, is her praying. She was a praying mom. So we appreciate our moms that are here today. But also we have our adopted moms, or our moms that adopt their children. And you know, I love this because when we think of our moms that maybe they couldn't have children for whatever reason, so they adopted children, we're very appreciative of them, because you and I can really understand a little bit of that from a child's view. Because if you're a Christian today, you're adopted into the family of God, because you were born under Adam and Eve, but then you were born again under a new family in Jesus Christ. So we can understand a little bit about what it means to be adopted. So we're thankful for our adopted, our moms that adopt. But we also have foster moms that are in here today. And we actually have quite a few foster moms that are here at Mount Sylvan. And our foster moms give children during the most desperate times of their lives love and care. It's a very difficult ministry, is being a foster mom, because sometimes you don't know if you're going to get to keep the child, and sometimes you do. But I want you to know this. You're giving that child something that they can't have without you. Many of them have lost their parents or from one thing or another. So we appreciate our foster moms, but we have another kind of mom in here today. And I was surprised when I thought about this morning, is we have a lot of expectant moms in the sanctuary this morning. I know Teresa's expecting. She's expecting a dinner whenever we leave. We have some that are expecting cards. We have some that are expecting a phone call. They're expecting. So we have a lot of expecting moms in our service this morning. And we're thankful for it. And Cliff, I don't know about you, but this morning when I put on my Sunday go to church clothes, I noticed that they lost a lot of weight during the week while we were gone. And just so y'all know, yes, there was lots of chocolate. There's a thing called chocolate molten cake. Doesn't cost anything, comes with the cruise. And there's lots of lobster, shrimp, and steak. You'll eat so much steak, you'll want a hamburger by the time it's over with. But anyway, let's look back at our outline. And I want to start out this morning by pointing out, and we're going to look at these three main characters in our text. But I want to begin with who Hannah was and what Hannah's story is all about. And our first point is this: God was at work in her life, even though she may have felt like he had forgotten her. Have you ever been there? God was at work in her life, even though she may have felt like he had forgotten her. As I was studying those scriptures, in fact, I want you to read, in starting in verse 9, we're going to pick up on some things. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery." Now, why was she miserable? Have you ever been miserable? I know a lot of moms have been through many episodes of misery. You have misery when you see your children hurting. Misery when you're praying for them through physical illnesses and all kinds of desperate times in their lives. There's a lot of miserable times. Hannah was miserable. She understood misery, because Hannah couldn't have children. And the Bible tells us something that Hannah didn't know at the time. The Bible tells us that the Lord had closed her womb. Now, Hannah was a godly woman, and she had a godly husband. And they went to you wouldn't call it the temple, but they went to the large building, the place where they worshipped like a temple, because Solomon's temple hadn't been built yet. But it was their church. It's where they had church. It's where they did their sacrificial system. And they would go to this large building, this place to worship. And while they were there, she would get hassled by Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah. Peninnah had sons. Peninnah had those things, but Elkanah actually loved Hannah more, because Hannah was such a godly woman with such a gentle spirit. And so Hannah couldn't have children. Well, in that culture, not to have a son was a bad thing in their culture. You were looked down upon. In other words, a lot of them would think that you had made some kind of bad sin because you couldn't have a son. And so every time they would show up, well, the other wife would begin to hound Hannah and say, "Look at you, you can't have any kids. Look at you," and just continually tormented her and just continually provoked her that she couldn't eat. She wasn't even hungry. She didn't want to eat. She was in a depression. She was in misery. And she finally took it and said, "You know what? I'm going to give it completely to the Lord." Now, we know this is one of those times, but I'm sure she had prayed many times. But this is one of those times where there's a difference in just praying and praying and praying, and then coming to a place in your prayers where you say, "You know what? God, I know you're there, and I'm praying this time, but God, this time I'm doing something I hadn't done before. I'm totally giving it to you." This was the experience that she had. It was an experience of, when I'm through praying today, I'm walking away with my chin up, no longer downcast. And the Bible tells us she could eat after this prayer. Why? Because this was a prayer of faith, and she gave it completely to the Lord, I believe inspired by the Lord himself. And so look at verse 11. In her prayer, she does this. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me. It's not that God will forget. It's just the closest English way that, or writing way, human way, that it could be found to say this. It's, Lord, remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Look at how specific her prayer is. God, remember this prayer. Remember me in my misery. Remember your servant. And God, give me a son, and I'll give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. Now, you got to remember, Elkanah is born in the tribe of Levi. He's already a Levite, genealogically, I guess I said that right. Geographically, an Ephraimite or Ephraim. But you have Elkanah is already in the right lineage for Samuel, if he's born, for if they have a boy, to automatically be a worker in the priesthood. So he already was there. But what she did is different. She doubly gives him to the Lord. It's like, yes, I know if I have a son, yes, he'll automatically be able to be a part of the priestly duties because of his birth. But what she's saying is, I'm going to do better than that. God, I want to give you my boy for his entire life. See the picture? She's saying, I'll wean him and I'll raise him up, but then I'm going to give him to you completely. And that's exactly what she did. And verse 12 says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Eli was the priest that was there. No kin, even though he calls Samuel's son. It was not that Samuel was Eli's son. He was Elkanah's son. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Verse 15, not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. That's what you are to circle and underline if you're a discouraged mom today, or you know a discouraged mom. It starts with pouring out your soul honestly before God. It starts that way with all of us individually. Pouring out our soul honestly before the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. This was a woman that was really hurting. Eli answered, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away, and watch this, and ate something. And her face was no longer downcast. Have you ever been there where you finally give it to the Lord and you can walk away in the freedom of the Lord? I want to tell you, there's four things I want to share real quickly, and you can write them down if you want to. Hope for discouraged moms. The first one is this. And I tried to find biblical examples of children, different children in the Bible. And at time, we'd take the whole hour just to do all of the children. But Absalom, quite a few different people. Number one, your children are a miracle from God. You can't have a child apart from a miracle that takes place by God. If you're in here today, you're not insignificant. You are a miracle. You're a miracle. Number two, God lets us, now watch this, God lets us have our children as stewards for a time. How long we have our kids is in God's hands. He gives them to us for a time. That's very important because our kids are God's first, ours second. He owns our kids. He gives them to us. The third one is this. God uses us to help mold and shape them. Now, before I go to number four, I want to share something because this will help you if you're a discouraged mom. You may say, you know what? I'm a godly mother. And I'm carrying all this guilt. I raised my son, or I raised my daughter, or I raised my kids in church. And I raised my kids to know the Lord. I taught them how to pray. I taught my kids who Jesus is. And my kids are not living for the Lord. My kids are so far from God, they're running from God. Maybe that describes you. May I say to you, that's not your fault. Don't have guilt. Because God gives every human this thing called a free will. Everybody has to make a choice. You can raise your kids right, but I don't want you to feel guilty if your kids are not living right. But then there's something else. Sometimes, and this is the part we always miss, and I share this a lot in counseling with discouraged moms. Sometimes our kids shape us. Caitlin's here this morning, and Madeline, where is Madeline? Oh, hi, Madeline. Always with the Smiths. My kids have helped shape Teresa and I. When Caitlin went through all of her heart issues and all the troubles that she had with her heart at a young age, it shaped Teresa and I's faith. A part of who we are today is because of the suffering that Caitlin experienced. Because we shared in the suffering. But you know what it does? Do you have kids that are going the wrong direction or they're wayward? I want to tell you, there's a lot of faithful preachers today because they had to learn to trust God with their wayward children. There's a lot of faithful Sunday school teachers today because they had to learn to depend completely on God and to trust God in all of His sovereignty and all of His providence. They had to completely do just what Hannah did and pour their souls out before the Lord in things that they felt were completely out of their control and they didn't know what else to do, and they completely gave it to God and they learned to depend on Him, and God uses them today in His church for His glory because their kids help shape them. You see, we have a lot to owe and a lot to be thankful for. That's why the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Because you never know what God's doing. Teresa and I don't know where I would be today in my faith walk had it not been for the things, and Caitlin, you didn't have any control of this, that started when she was 5 months old in her life. There was so much fear. We didn't know if she was going to live another day. It was something all the time. And we didn't know what to do. But we came to a place like Hannah where we were in misery and we were in despair and we didn't know what to do and we were just distraught, where we finally just poured it out to God and we gave it to God. And I can remember one day in Children's Hospital, Teresa and I getting together in a waiting room. We'd been praying every night. And during that time, it was one of the times we didn't know if Caitlin was going to make it. And I remember that we said to each other, we're going to trust God. And I remember that we felt a peace that we carried throughout the remainder of that time that I can't put words to. Because God showed us inwardly. I can't show you, I can't even put it into words. All I can do is tell you this. He showed us that Caitlin belonged to God. She did not belong to us. We had to come to that reality. That Caitlin was a miracle of God and that we were lucky enough to get to be stewards of Caitlin, and it changed our perceptions to where we could love Caitlin like we could never love her before, and we could learn to grow in our faith and not get bitter at God but get better in our walk with God, because we knew that ultimately she was in God's hands. We would do everything on our end, but she was in God's hands. And you know what? God, He doesn't do it for everybody, but in her situation, He worked it out. And she's fine now. But we needed that to build our faith. It wasn't long after that we just trusted God on everything. Because through the experiences with a child that was suffering, we learned to trust Him with everything. Because that indirectly affects your finances, affects every area of your life. So you have to learn to trust Him. So that fourth one is very important. Sometimes God uses our kids to help shape us. And if you're a godly mom and you raise your kids to know the Lord, carry no guilt. Be thankful for your children. Thank God today for your children because they are a gift from the Lord. But the second one is this. God was preparing her for something great. You know, it's amazing because here's Hannah not understanding why she can't have a son. And the Bible is telling us twice that the Lord had closed her womb. But you know what? Hannah had to be prepared because God was going to use Samuel to do some great things. Now, when we're reading in the book of Samuel, you need to remember something. Samuel's not just another old guy in the Bible. Samuel's a pretty incredible guy. And I want to tell you why. Because Samuel is like the last of the judges, but the first of the major prophets, all wrapped up in one man. He's like the last of the judges of Israel, taking them into a new era of time where they'll be under kings. And God is going to use this Samuel to bridge the gap, to bridge the transition between Israel being judged by judges and bridge the gap of now Israel being led by kings. And guess who is that first major prophet? Major prophet, not minor. It's Samuel. And guess who it is that God is going to use to anoint King Saul and to anoint King David, kings over Israel later? It's going to be Samuel. Samuel's an important guy in church history. God had to have Elkanah and he had to have Hannah prepared for something great. So maybe you're praying for a child. Maybe you're trying to have a child. I know on Teresa night it took us 2 years to have a child. We were looking at adopting. But God is in his perfect time. He works things out. Because he's a God of perfect timing. He's divine. Psalms 139 is a great chapter to read for encouragement. Because Psalms 139 tells us that everything about a person. We hear, you know, whenever they came out, we could finally see on the news and on TV about DNA. And how it's like this ribbon of life and everything about a person, their genealogy, all these things are just rolled out on this DNA. Well, God's the one that rolled out the film strip. Because if you look, I don't know if it's called a film strip, but that works for me if you look at it. But if you look at how he did that, Psalms 139 says that I have fashioned your days even yet as before there was any. You did what? I fashioned out your days. The word for that in the Hebrews, I hammered out your days like a blacksmith molding something into something that he's making. He said, I molded you for something. I've got a purpose. I'm making you for something. So timing is in God's hands for children. What they do, the gifts that they have, the talents that they have, it's in God's hands. You know what it does? It takes the responsibility off of you, Mom. Because if it was given by God, then you can just take great pleasure in the fact that God is the one that will grow it because it came from him. It takes the pressure off. You know, when God's preparing us for something great, we go through rough times. You've heard of Chuck Yeager. Chuck Yeager was an amazing pilot. In fact, in 1942, he comes out with his pilot's license, and man, I mean, he's an amazing guy. And just over a short period of years, he's flying these P-51s or whatever they call it, fighter planes and everything else. And I mean, he is like a very talented pilot. Well, nobody had broke the sound barrier horizontally until October the 14th of 1946. Chuck Yeager broke it. Have you ever heard the story of what happened? When they'd get to Mach 1, which is the speed of sound, the same speed of sound, the planes would go to shaking so violently that their natural instinct and reaction would be to pull back on the controls to slow the plane down because they were afraid that the planes were just going to shatter into a million pieces at that speed. Mach 1's fast. That's as fast as me and Teresa going to get a Dr. Pepper at Sonic. That's fast. And so they're cruising along at Mach 1, and nobody wants to try to break it because they're afraid it's a death sentence to break the speed of sound. So finally, this one man says, you know what? I'll take $150,000 and I'll break the sound barrier. Well, Chuck Yeager steps up. He doesn't even really care about the money. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll just do it. Let me try it. So they prepare him and everything. Well, 2 days, talking about perseverance. It takes perseverance to be a parent. 2 days before he was going to attempt it, and everything was planned, he broke two of his ribs in a horseback riding accident. And he had a good friend make a deal out of a broomstick to open the hatch because it's something normally simple he couldn't reach up to do. And he didn't tell anybody but his wife and that good friend. And he went to a vet, a local vet, to get treated because he was scared that people would find out and he wouldn't get to try it. This man that was facing his adversity. Well, he got up there, and sure enough, he's flying horizontally. That's what he's trying to break. And he gets up to Mach 1, the speed of sound, and I mean the plane is shaking so violently that you'd think it's fixing to just fly into a million pieces. But instead of doing what was standard practice, he did what was counter to human logic. That's what prayer does. Prayer changes things. And instead he sped up. And not only did he speed up, he gave it everything it had. And he said, I learned something. He said, I learned that when you speed up, once he broke the sound barrier, he said, I learned that the plane got smoother and smoother and smoother the faster that I went. Now, I don't understand the physics behind that. Some of you might understand it. But I understand this. What was natural was to pull back. What was unnatural was to speed up. In adversity, as moms and dads, grandpas, individuals, you know what we tend to do? We tend to pull back and slow down when we're under the gun or in pressure. But instead, we need to do what's counter to human logic, and we need to pour out our hearts to the Lord in prayer, and we've got to trust Him by faith that He is sovereign, that Psalms 139 is true for our life, and Psalms 139 is true for others' lives. The last one is this. She would have reason to praise God for the rest of her life. Now, I just want to give you the summary of the rest of the story here. It turns out that in time, it wasn't just immediately, but it turns out in time that she became pregnant and she had a son and they named him Samuel. And you know the rest of the story about Samuel, the great prophet of God that he was, the great man of God that judged Israel, prophet at the same time, an amazing thing, amazing man. And you know, I was thinking about it. It took a mom and a dad to be prepared of God to raise a child to be light. Because the Bible tells us that the prophets and all of these godly men that He raised up in the Old Testament were to be a light to the Gentiles. They were to be lights to the world. And you may ask yourself, am I a light to the world, or am I raising my children? Listen, if you've got your children in the nursery, or they were up here singing a while ago, or they're in children's church, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to get up every Sunday morning, to get ready to bring your kids to church. But I want to assure you of this, it's worth it. It pays off. And I want to close with this thought. Dr. Paul Pyle, in his latest book called The Last Leaf on the Tree, I love that title, The Last Leaf on the Tree, he wrote about a legendary pastor named Halford Lukuk. He was a Methodist pastor. And this pastor had asked his two granddaughters one day what they wanted for Christmas. And one of the little girls said, give us a world. Well, he didn't know what she meant. So he asked the mom, said, what does she mean by give us a world? And she whispered, she wants a globe. Remember when the globes were so popular? And so anyway, Christmas time came. And so the pastor gave the present. The grandfather gave the present to the two girls. And the two girls, they looked like they were disappointed when they opened it. It was a globe. And finally, one of the little girls looked up at Grandpa and said, we wanted a lighted globe. So the grandpa says, no problem. So, you know, grandpas are going to please their grandkids. So the grandpa goes back to the store when they open again, and he exchanges the globe for a lighted globe, and he comes back, and the kids are just thrilled. Well, later, in talking about the experience, he said to a friend, he said, I learned something about that. The friend said, what'd you learn? He said, I learned that a lighted world costs a whole lot more. If you're going to make your kids lights in the world, it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And God, we pray this morning for all of our moms, especially those that are discouraged. God, those that are trying to have children. Lord, we are reminded of Psalms 139. We're reminded, Lord, that we need to give that grief and that anguish and that pain. We need to give it to You in prayer honestly. And Lord, just like Hannah did, we've got to walk away in faith. That time she walked away in faith. She was no longer sad as she was the years prior. And she ate. And she was happy. Why? Because she had recognized the sovereignty of God. And Father, there may be moms here today that maybe moms that have adopted or fostered or moms that had biological children. They're feeling guilty. And Satan is just wearing them out year after year. Mother's Day is supposed to be a day of joy and appreciation, and they just feel beat up and beat down. And God, I pray today that You would encourage them by Your Holy Spirit. That, Father, that we can do the best we can with our kids, but ultimately our kids have to make the right choices and the right decisions. But God, we thank You that You don't waste anything and that You do far and above that which we can ask. And one day when we stand before You in glory, We're going to get to see things and learn things that are beyond our wildest expectations of just how good you really are. And Father, I just pray that you would encourage their hearts today. Lord, I pray for the moms that are in here this morning that are praying, God, we want children. We got married to have a family. Lord, why? Why is it taking so long? Lord, encourage those moms today that they can trust in your sovereignty, to trust you. Maybe God has a different plan and a different direction or a different way in being a mom. I know ladies that are in here right now that have never had children but have so many children because you've loved so many kids and they think of you as a grandma or they think of you as a mom because you are their mom. You're like mom to them. And we thank you for your godliness and for your love. Lord, do in our hearts this morning what we need. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.